Well, we had some victories won down here this morning, and had Miss Kelly sitting right back here, gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ this morning, so praise God. He is an awesome God, and I tell you what, if you're in this place this morning, and I know most everybody in here, some of you I may not know as well, but if you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's to your detriment if you leave here today and you haven't done that. And it's like I tell every single person, Christ is not looking for lip service. He's looking for a relationship. He's going to give you more than lip service, and he did that on the cross. He wants more than just you to tell him that you know him, to say that you know his name. He wants to know you and for you to know him and for y'all to grow close together in a relationship. And that's something that we don't talk about here as far as just coming down and just saying that you're saved. I don't know that. But when your words that you speak out of your mouth and your heart relationship line up, that's the moment when you are saved. And we want you to understand that this morning. We want to be here for you in any way that we can. And I just praise God what he's doing in this place. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, you know, I began to think over the past couple of days after we talked about some stuff on Wednesday night, you know, what is a good person? What makes a good person? Someone who obeys laws and does well with authority. And I think of someone who is probably fearful of the consequences that come with breaking laws. You know, you think about yourself, you think, well, I'm a pretty good person. I never got in trouble at school, or I don't get many speeding tickets and all that. Why? Why? Is that just because that's just the way you are? But see, I think it's probably because you're so scared of what those consequences may be. And just like to me, and they do this in River North where Brooke and I live, they put a cop car, nobody in it, but they put a cop car at different places. You ever seen that, what's that, Elf on a Shelf thing? You wake up one morning and the thing, so we used to start to work and we go, where's the cop car going to be today? Because we know nobody's in there. But every time I see that car, whew, my foot hits the brake. You know, right there. You're trained within, you see a cop coming, and even if you're not speeding, your foot's going to hit the brake. It should. If not, you're probably not scared of getting a ticket. But I think many of people, if you've ever, and if you just started driving, you may not know nothing about it, but I got a $194 ticket one time, and I don't plan, that was my last one, and I don't plan on getting another one, because that hurts, okay? And so when I, you know, don't speed through Monroe County. That's a free message for you this morning, okay? But we are scared of the consequences of things, whether that be in the world, and you're scared of getting a ticket, or you're scared of going to jail over something, or maybe it's at work. You know, you do pretty good at work, because you ought to be, I hope, scared that you may lose your job if you do X, Y, or Z. You may be written up for something. And so, you know, you think about when you're a child. You know, your kids, they don't just come out. Parents, you know this. They don't just get born and they're angels. Anybody ever had an experience like that? They had one that was an angel? You did, Carol? Out of all them kids, I don't believe that. No, they didn't turn out to be angels. Oh, I got, okay. Yeah, well, I'm saying they, at some point, the beast within comes out, okay? Huh? Yeah. John or Bruce or... You think about this, though, parents. What keeps your kids in line? Hopefully because you give them discipline. And you, growing up, I heard a lot of people, especially those of you who really had parents that did not spare that rod, they'll say, Dean, I didn't backtalk my mama. Yeah, I didn't. Why? Why didn't you? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, Dean. Very good segue into that. Because there's a lot of things, fear of consequences in this world keeps us in check, whether that's the fear of your mama's backhand across your face, or whether that's the fear of a ticket, or that's the fear of losing your job. And those are not unhealthy fears. We think about fear sometimes as being a bad thing. No, fear is a good thing. I hope And because when you have fear, you have reverence and you have respect. And I hope for every parent that is represented in this place today that your children fear you at some level. They should, because they are going to have something in this life that they need to be fearful in the way of respect and reverence. Because a cop is not going to say, "Oh, baby, it's okay. You just keep on going." I never had that experience. Okay? You know, I've never been that cute, I guess, to, you know, say, "Oh, please. You know, don't give me." No. No, that's not the way it is. And I want to talk to you this morning about fearing the Lord. Because I think that that's something that is very much, and we mentioned this, I think Jim mentioned this Wednesday night, that is very much missing from the world today. Fearing God. And we're going to read a ton of scripture this morning on this. And the first place we're going to turn to is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you." Now, I don't know. You see here how they are instructing the early Hebrews here that they are to fear the Lord all of their life. And when they're fearing the Lord, they are obeying. Right there in verse 2, it says, obeying all that God had commanded them, and that they could enjoy long life at the end of verse 2. And you see in verse 3 there, it says, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey. If you look in Hebrews, and we'll be in this same chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, we'll be looking at this tonight. But Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." And that's what I'm talking about this morning, a holy fear. That Noah knew what God was going to be doing. God had told him he was bringing this flood, and in a holy fear, he built the ark. You will have some people that will tell you, "Well, you know, we're not supposed to fear God. We're supposed to love God." The Epistle of John tells us about that. Absolutely, we're supposed to love God. But if you love God today, you also are going to fear God today, because God is loving. Yes, he is, but he is holy and he is just. And when it comes to being holy, he doesn't like sin. He hates sin. He hates evil. He can't look upon evil. And so you better be scared, because the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were not scared. They did not have a holy fear. And he brought down fire and brimstone on those cities and destroyed them. We're reading about Noah right here. Holy fear, you need to have it. He wiped away everybody except 8 people. And then all the kinds of animals that were on that ark because of what was going on. God, whether there are some preachers in this world or not that want to tell you, God delivers punishment to us. It's called discipline. And I thank him for that today, because it keeps me in line. And yes, I am scared. I'm scared a lot of times of doing it. Oh, wait a minute. And that's something that was built into me. I didn't go around being able to back talk my parents or grandparents or anybody else without consequences. You could do it. And you can do whatever you want to. Don't let anybody tell you you have to do anything. You don't have to. You don't have to do one thing. Your kids don't have to get up and go to school tomorrow. You didn't have to come to church. You don't have to eat. You don't have to do anything, as long as you're willing to accept the consequences, right? Okay, so, you know, your kids can look and say, "I don't have to." Say, "No, you don't. But I'm going to tear your tail up." That the choice is yours. I had a principal assistant principal in high school. Every Tuesday he did announcements. And at the end, this was his sign-off. He said, make it a great day or not. The choice is yours. Okay? And I went, ah. Some people chose one way. Some people chose another. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 3, and put your finger in 9, 10. Just probably flipping a page, maybe on the same page, depending on your Bible. Proverbs 8, 13, and then Proverbs 9, 10. Going to look at a little bit about what this holy fear is. Proverbs 8, 13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. So you ask, what is this to fear the Lord? To fear the Lord, that fear is to hate evil. And if you look at chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You want to talk about getting wise? Well, you can get as wise as you want to with degrees of this world. You can have a doctorate degree in mathematics or rocket science or anything that you want to of things of this world. And when your last breath leaves your body, none of that matters. But you want to talk about some wisdom. You want to talk about some knowledge and understanding to have. That's knowledge and understanding of God himself. Okay? And if you look before we go there, fear, 271 times, give or take, in the entire Bible. 105 times in the Bible it says to fear the Lord. 39 times it says to fear God. So right there, you have a little less than 150 times that it is telling you to fear God, to fear the Lord. And there's other times when it doesn't say fear the Lord, fear God. It'll say have fear of him. And it references it tons and tons of time. This is not just reverence. It's not just awe that you have to fear God is an awe of him. No, it is the same word that we get phobia from. When you say, I have arachnophobia, there was a huge spider outside this door a while ago when we left out of there, and Priscilla and them pointed out, and whew, I was out of there, okay? Arachnophobia. And when you say that, you're not just talking about that you have an awe of spiders or that you just stand back and you revere them. No, you're scared of them. I mean, that's what you're saying. When you have any of these phobias, you know that when somebody says something about a phobia, then that is way more than just a, I'm scared a little bit of it. And that, when you look at that Greek word, it's the same one. It's where we get that from. And so, yes, if you ask this morning, is God telling me I ought to be scared of him? Yes, you should. He is the only one. All y'all mamas, you say, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. Okay. He is the one that brought you in the world. He is the one that's going to take you out of the world. And you've seen the scriptures earlier that said, hey, let your life be long now if you do this. The adverse of that is if you don't, it may be short. It may be long. It may be short. But I wouldn't toy with him. Psalms chapter 33, verses 8 through 9. And I'm going to read this real quick. And it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. See, the God that we're talking about fearing this morning is the same God who, when nothing was in this world, nothing was in the universe, by the power of one spoken word, he made the world come to be. He was the same God that spoke your name into existence. He's the same God that one day when life leaves your body and the Bible tells us that you are appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. This is the same God I'm talking about now that you're going to stand before on your judgment day, and your entire life from the moment that you were born to the day that you breathe your last is going to pass before him. That's the same God that I'm talking about. And I'm asking you, do you fear that God today? The one that in the blink of an eye could have every one of our lives right now, could pull your number right now if he wanted to. Bam! Now, you're scared of cops, parents, principals, bosses, government officials, but we're not scared of God. We walk around and you see on TV shows, it's sickening. It's sickening when you watch a TV show that does nothing but sit there and degrade God. Now, I'd be real nervous about being that actor right there. Real nervous about using the Lord's name in vain over and over and over in a sitcom. I'd be nervous about being in one of these little, you know, stupid Family Guy type cartoons that they have out there where they have Jesus coming in there acting like he's smoking, you know, marijuana or something like that. I'd hate to be the one that wrote that. I'd hate to be the one that was voicing some of that kind of stuff over, because we're living in a world where we don't fear him. And because he's shown us and he has tested us and he sent some alarms to us. And I preached on that earlier, but I'm going to tell you, it's not to say that he has this big bubble over the United States of America to where he won't take a whipping to this entire country. And I want you to think about your household for a moment. Whether that be, I'm telling you, how you spend your time and how you spend your money and the resources that God has given you, you ought to be fearful of that, because in the blink of an eye, God can take away every bit of the health that you have. You are supposed to be living for him. We spend all of our time worrying about, you know, secular jobs and worrying about making sure we have all the money that we need and living for ourselves, and we wake up in the morning, what can I do for me today? What can I do for me? And then maybe, just maybe, you have about 100 of us that may come here on a Sunday morning, and then we say, all right, God, here's my time card. Ka-ching, I punched it in. I've given you your hour or 2 hours that you need for this particular week, but the rest of the week is mine. Look now. This is up to you. You either fear him or you don't fear him. And there's consequences for each side. But I'm telling you, the God who can answer the question, you and what army? And I mean a big one. And there's one of them coming. On the day of Armageddon, when that battle ensues, I want to be on the right side of that field. I don't want to be on the one over here with all the things of the world, all the stuff that Satan is throwing at us, because Satan puts all of these things at you. He's going, you don't have to worry about God. The Garden of Eden. I mean, that's exactly what it was. Oh, you don't have to worry about that. I mean, he just don't want you to be like him. Here, eat this. How did that work out? Tell me. It didn't work out too well, did it? You'd be scared when he said, don't do something, and you do it. I'm always, oh, wait a minute. When is it coming? When is it coming? Because, see, God loves you. And if you don't discipline your children, you don't love your children. You don't love them. And because God disciplines, I know he loves. That doesn't mean you have to beat them. Some of them, most of them need it, though. I did. A good talking to. My mom, you're on restriction. Okay, whatever. Give me another day. But to tear me up, I didn't want that now. But see, I can remember my father whipping me and had tears rolling down his eyes. And he said, you know, it hurts me more than it hurts you. And I'm like, yeah, you ain't feeling this, Jack. I mean, hold me up by one hand and just wailing on me like that there, because I hit the floor because I knew what was coming. But I'll never forget turning to him and looking at him and knowing that he had tears in his eyes. And now for me, I know he did that because he wanted what was best for me. And the path that I was on at that moment wasn't the best for me. So he had to steer me back in line. And that's what God is doing for us. But when you turn around and you look at God and you just say, hey, get out of here. We don't care nothing about you. We're going to pick you up Sunday when we come back to church. Now, I'm telling you, he don't like that. The Sunday before that, I talked about the forgotten name of God. He is a jealous God. And he doesn't want to share you with the world. He doesn't want to share you with your spouse. He doesn't want to share you with your children. He doesn't want to share you with your workplace. He wants you, and he wants you all to himself. And I'm telling you, when you do that, all these other things come in line. You don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. When you put God at the forefront, and he is the one that you have fear for and you have reverence for, then all of these other things just fall right into place and they happen. But I'm telling you, it is detrimental when you try to stack all of these other things and find God way down here somewhere. That's not going to work out for you too well. So put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That is the word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. It says, although a wicked man commits 100 crimes and still lives a long time, I know that it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. You say, well, that's a lot of Old Testament scripture with one New Testament scripture in Hebrews 11 talking about the fear of God. Well, when I read in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, and you have them saying that then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Living in the fear of the Lord. And that's what I'm asking of you today. Are you living in the fear of the Lord? Or are you just going about life like you want to go about it? Being scared of all of these other things, but not being scared of the one who brought you into this world and can take you out of this world. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 tells us to work out our salvation in fear and in trembling. And there's something to be said about that. We think that salvation is something that, you know, God isn't mad at you and you just keep on going throughout your life and you do what you want to do and you live like you want to live and everything that is said in church, because see, it's so much preached in this world today that God embodies only love and he's not going to do anything to you. I said this the other day, and I know there may be some people in here that like Joel Osteen. I don't like Joel Osteen, and if you can still like him after you hear what comes out of that church when his wife stands in the church and she said, when you praise God, you're not doing it for him, you're doing it for yourself, because when you're happy, God is happy. That ain't true. You go and read the Bible. When you are happy, God is happy. There's a lot of times I've been happy in sin. And was God happy in my sin? I don't think so. When God is happy, then you may be happy. But not every time that you are happy is God happy. And don't let nobody lie to you like that. Because that means you're going to be sitting there in the midst of your fallenness, in the midst of your sin, and you're thinking God is smiling upon you and God is raising his hand to slap you around. And I'm trying to tell you, we're going to get it. I'm a sinner, saved by grace, hallelujah, but I sin, and God comes in, and those of us who have the burden of preaching and teaching, we are held to a higher standard, because, see, the things that I do affect this entire church, and so when God comes down, buddy, I know it, because every time I turn around, it's like being slapped in one of them obstacle course things, bam, bam, just hit me like a punching bag, and I go, whoa, 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 whoa. Somewhere I've messed up. And then you got to go back. You got to go to an altar somewhere, hit your knees, and you got to say, God, all right, I'm sorry. Wherever, you got to go back and find him, see, because we think we're walking along with God very good and arm in arm and whatnot, and he's supposed to be leading us, but we're just having a joyous old time. And then you turn around and you realize, wait, you left him miles and miles and miles back down the road. And then you start getting mad and say, God left you. God never leaves you. Psalms tells us he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. He didn't say that you were going to turn around and leave him like the prodigal son. You have a choice. You have a choice. He has given you everything. And you have a choice to stay there in the bliss that it is in his home, to eat, to drink, to be merry, you know, to have the ring on your finger and the robe and all of those other things that come with being a child of God, especially when we get into eternity. Or you can go off and do your own deal and squander the inheritance and eat pig slop and all that, and then figure out that, hey, it's better to be in my Father's house to even be a servant. But see, the grace of God is, this is why, I mean, yes, he's loving. Because, see, when he sees you take that one step back home, he don't say, come on, and wait for you to walk all the way back up there. He runs to you, and he embraces you, and he brings you back home after all the things that you've done to him, and you squandered everything he's given you, all the gifts and all the talents and all the abilities that God had, and the plan he had for your life up to that time, whether it was 10 years or 15 years that you wasted that God has. He doesn't sit there and read all of those things to you. He says, you know, rejoice. Because the son who was lost is now found, and go and kill the fattened calf and bring him in. We're going to have a feast and a celebration. And he brings you up, then he puts that robe around you, and he puts a ring on your finger, and you are celebrated because you're home. Kelly, you're celebrated today in the kingdom of God because a child who once was lost is now found. Praise God for that. I'm telling you, church, we as a church, we better fear God. Because God is blessing, and he is blessing, and he is blessing. And at any moment, if we take our hands off the wheel and we think that it's anything about us, it's anything about a collective group of people, and we forget God somewhere over there, he'll take it all away. He's done it before, and he will do it again. Because he said, even if we won't praise him, well, the rocks will cry out and praise him. And so he's going to be praised. He is going to get the glory that he needs. And he is not going to continue to watch us squander our life. So I'm telling you, you got something to do for God. And it is not easy. It is very difficult. And young people in here today, because there are plenty of young people in here today, don't waste time. I'm only 26 years old. And I made a commitment a long time ago because God had some things within me and he worked on me. And I said, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to come one day at 50 years old, and you need to do it, but I'm not going to come at 50 if I can help it and say, God, I wasted 50 years of my life. Now I need to come back. And yes, I'm young, but let me tell you something today, church. I don't apologize for not wasting time. I'm never going to apologize for that. You got a lot of people who are older who think, well, you're just 26. Well, what did you want me to do? So I'm preaching this. So basically what you're telling me is I should have wasted all of my life and went and did this and did that and got beat up and did this and did all that. And finally, I received the Lord, and now I can come. No, sir. No. Just like David, who looked at Saul when he said, you're just a little shepherd boy. And David said, okay, that's all right. I know who I am. But see, it's not me. And never will I think it's me. Because the only reason I am where I am is that's because God gave me grace and mercy. It's not because I walked here. No doubt about it. And what David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33 and 34, he said, the God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear shall deliver me from this Philistine. And that's what you got to put your hope and trust in. Not you. Not you. Don't put your trust in me, because guess what? I don't have my trust in you. My trust is in the Father. He is the only source. He's our creator and he is our sustainer. And today we ought to revere him inside of this church, whether that's taking up offering, whether that's sitting here, whether that's preaching, whether that's baptism, whatever we're doing, we ought to be doing it in worship to God. If we're doing something within the walls of this church that is not worshiping God, we need to cut it out, because he don't like that. And he has killed people. And I'm not saying he still doesn't do that today, because he does. But there is a God, no doubt about that today. And he is righteous, he is holy, he is loving, he is just, he is all of those things. But everything encompasses his love for us. And I want you to know something today. If he didn't love you, he would have smited Adam and Eve right then and ended humanity. He could have. As soon as they sinned that first time, he could have said, that's it. You screwed up, bam, you're done. He didn't. He cast them out of the Garden of Eden, and he's went thousands of years loving us, to bring us to the place that ultimately he had to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a Roman cross, shedding his blood with his body hanging in pieces. Why? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whether I got to love him, whether I got to respect him, whether I got to bow down and say, everybody says when you get to heaven, I'm going to just run up to Jesus and start talking to him. No, you're not. You're going to fall flat of your face right there in front of him, because you've never seen something as awesome as what he looks like. He's not like the pictures that we see. And there, when he peeled back on the Mount of Transfiguration, they all threw back. When he spoke in the Garden of Gethsemane, I am he, they fell back. And you think you got the power to run up there and embrace him like that? No, you're going to fall down at his awesome power, because by the name of Jesus, every person will be saved. And it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You can stay strong right now in this earth. You say, I'm not going to bow down to him. You can say that, okay? But there's going to come a day, whether he's got to break your leg or not, you will bow to him, because he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Harry. Yes, sir.